John 5. Today we're going to talk about the Reformation. And we're going to, the Reformation we're summarizing as keeping the gospel central. Keeping the gospel central is what the Reformation was about. It's a time in the history of the church where we recovered a lost, eclipsed gospel. Not that it was totally gone, but it was obscured and hidden from view of the people. But that gospel was recovered, and so we celebrate, we remember, and we're remembering this under kind of five headings of how the gospel is recovered. Now, so the reason we're doing this, we've been in Genesis and we're going through Genesis, but last week was October 30th, and it was October 31st, 499 years ago, that a guy named Martin Luther nailed these 95 theses onto a door in order to bring about a discussion about the eclipse of the gospel, and that sparked what was called the Reformation. So I thought, oh, that would be nice to take a Sunday and kind of talk about what happened in the Reformation and then kind of the five major points of the Reformation and go over those and then come back to Genesis. But what happened was I only got through one of the five things. So it's kind of turning into a little miniature series, but that's okay and that's good. We'll be back to Genesis in due time. Genesis is not going anywhere. But before we dig in also to the sermon, I wanted to say thank you, because this week or late last week, and just like cards started rolling in through my mailbox, just to like encourage me and my family, and it, there was a massive pile of cards from you guys, and they're like with really kind notes of like appreciation and encouragement and gifts, and we were just super overwhelmed by it. We're really really grateful and feel like this is just a really encouraging church to minister in and to be a part of. So I don't know who, one of you I'm sure conspired to put that together. And we just wanted to say thank you. Like I wanted to just give like a public like thank you. And it's the things that you all said were super nice and really kind. And so I appreciate them and they encouraged me and my family. So thank you for doing that. And just like ditto. Like, we love you guys, and we're really grateful to be here. We're really grateful to be brothers and sisters with you to minister the gospel together here in Durango. So just thank you. Thanks. Like, it was abundant and really kind and encouraging. And I just want to, I need to also then mention that the Bible has a couple different words for pastors. There's the word pastor, which refers to like the shepherding element of it. It has the word elder, which kind of refers to the wisdom element of it. And it has the word overseer, which has to do with kind of the part of the task of watching over a people. The Bible uses all three of those words interchangeably. Pastors, elders, overseers, they're interchangeable. So I just want to acknowledge also Gail and Tommy as co-pastors, as co-elders that we're laboring together, and they do tremendous amounts of work to serve this body. So just like want to publicly acknowledge and recognize that as well. And it's and all sorts of volunteers and ministries and with kids and it's Bible studies. I mean, there's so much, right? I can't list all of the people, all the things that all of you guys do. So like, it was so nice of you. I felt kind of singled out, but I appreciate it. But there's so much that goes on in Gospel Church and that it takes. So thank you guys, and we love you. Okay, having said that, the Reformation, okay? The Reformation, and we're talking about the Reformation was the recovery of the gospel. And the Reformation truths that were recovered, the summaries of the gospel, are summarized often by five heads. They're called sometimes the five solas, which is a Latin word that means alone. We talked a little bit about that last week, how part of the problem the Reformation was addressing was that the truth of the Bible was hidden in Latin and not in the common language of the people. And so Luther then translated the Bible from the Latin into the language of all the people. So I'm going to call them the alones. I'm going to call them, instead of sola scriptura, which is Latin and kind of serves ironically, I think, to mask the meaning of it, I'm going to call it scripture alone, right? So last week we talked about scripture alone as our sole final authority, expression of God's authority to us in the scripture alone. Today we're going to talk about Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone is our only Savior. He is the only mediator between us and God, between us and heaven. It's only Jesus. And then next week, we might cover two next week, by grace alone, through faith alone. We're saved, because those are really tightly woven together. And then we'll finish with the glory of God alone is our aim. That's our goal. That's what kind of undergirds all of this. So, last week we talked about Scripture alone. And while we saw that the Bible, the Bible fills the role of the highest expression of God's authority to us. But Scripture alone is not the only point of the five, right? So we dug in, we focused on that one. The Bible alone fills the role of the highest expression of God's authority to us. And along with that, we don't worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. We worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God, and it testifies to Jesus so that we come to Him for life. Okay, so we recover the Scripture. That's part of what was recovered in the Reformation. We exhorted each other to stand on the Scripture and never let it go and not to drift and not to accept other things and resist the authority of God as given to us through the Scripture. But it's really important saying that and grounding ourselves really well in that. It's really important that we know that our life is not found in the Bible, but through the Bible in Jesus. Our life is not found in the Bible. Our life is found through the Bible in Jesus. This is why I wanted you to turn to John chapter 5. Because that these are actually Jesus' own ideas, his own words. John 5, and we'll look at 39 and 40. Jesus is rebuking the religious leaders. So there's dangers of those drifting away from the Bible. There's also dangers of those who talk a lot about the Bible and study the Bible a lot. Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." So do you see that? They thought their eternal life was found in the Scriptures themselves. It certainly comes through there. In the Scriptures we read of Jesus, we learn of Jesus. He says, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but you refuse to come to me, Jesus says, that you may have life. So if we come to the Scriptures, but we don't come through the Scriptures to Jesus for life, then we've missed the point, haven't we? That's what the Gospel of John says. I write these things to you so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. We come to the Scriptures so that we come to Jesus. We love the Scriptures because the Scriptures give us Jesus. This doesn't diminish or take anything back from last week. Scripture alone is this. Do you notice the way I say it carefully? That Scripture alone, let me say it. The Bible fills the role of the highest expression of God's authority to us. Because sometimes we just summarize and say Scripture is the highest authority. But that's just not true. God is the highest authority. And God expresses that authority to us through the Scripture alone. It's the highest expression of God's authority. But we can't miss that very important piece. And that's why we have this Christ alone. And then as we'll end, even with for the glory of God alone. All right. I guess it's also worth saying at this point that Jesus, when he was here on earth, actually pointed people to the Bible. That's stunning, isn't it? I mean, he is the Word made flesh. Jesus himself, the one the Bible is testifying about, it's all about him. And yet he gathers, and he, what does he do? He unrolls the scroll, and he starts reading them Isaiah. He starts reading them the Scriptures. So we're not diminishing the Scriptures here, right? We're putting them in their proper place, pointing us to Jesus, that we may have life in his name. Christ is all in all. He's the eternal Word of God. He is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is everything. That's the point today. Sola Christus, or Christ alone. So the first thing to notice is that Christ alone saves. Christ alone saves. That's the point when we say Christ alone. Jesus alone saves. Well, what about the Father and the Holy Spirit? We'll clarify. And the Father plans from all eternity past and sends the Son to carry out the work of redemption. So, and the Holy Spirit ministered to Jesus and empowered Jesus in his ministry and then applies his ministry to us and to the world and is applying it now all over the world. So, but yet the Father didn't die on the cross and the Spirit didn't die on the cross. It was Jesus who died on the cross. That's why we say Jesus alone. Jesus is, so that what we're saying, to put it from the Bible, Because remember, we always need to ground everything in the Bible. If we listened last week, we know that at very least. What we're saying when we say Jesus alone is we're saying Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. That's what the Bible says. That's in 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. One God, one mediator between us and God. It's the man Jesus Christ. Jesus alone can restore us to God. So that's what we're focusing on today. I want us to see there are three ways that we miss this. There are three ways we go wrong on this. Three ways we reject the doctrine of Christ alone. And in the Reformation, which is the context that's bringing all this up, is the first one we'll talk about, okay? So there are three ways. Some say we don't need a mediator. Some say there's some mediator apart from Jesus. And then other people say, well, Jesus, but he does it along with some other mediators. And that was the problem in the Reformation, leading up to the Reformation, okay? Is that people said, well, yeah, Jesus, and he's everything, but if you want to get to Jesus, I mean, he is really exalted. Jesus is great, he's awesome, he's the Lord, he's really exalted. So, you know, easier than going to Jesus, you can just talk to his mom, and then his mom will talk to him, and then he will intercede with the Father for you. Because Jesus is just a little too exalted for you to come to. So maybe come to Jesus when it's real serious or if you're really bold. But instead, you can just talk to Jesus' mom. Jesus' mom will talk to Jesus. Jesus will talk to the Father. And then the Father will hear your prayers. Or they'll say, well, Jesus, God is so great and he's so exalted. This is what was being taught in the Roman Catholic Church. You can talk to his mom or you can talk to your priest. You can talk to me. Jesus, you know, he's way distant. I mean, he's way far away. But look, I'm right here. So if you need anything, you can talk to me, and I'll talk to Jesus. Or I'll talk to Jesus' mom. Jesus' mom can talk to Jesus, and Jesus can talk to the Father, and then you'll have the request that you've asked of him. Right? And that's the kind of thing that was happening. So they would never have said, like, no, there's lots of mediators. They'd say, oh, yeah, there's only one. It's just Jesus. Jesus alone. But he's hard to go to. So they just inject a bunch of other mediators kind of all around him. And then pretty soon, Jesus is many, many steps removed from you. So that's what was going on. Mary was taught to be a mediatrix, is what they called her. That's a title within the Roman Catholic Church. Mary is a mediator, a mediatrix. Being a mediator of the grace of God with Jesus is how they would say it. That's not just a rumor. That's formal dogma formalized in the Second Vatican Council. And if you know about the history of the Roman Catholic Church, if something's formalized in a council, it's on the same authority as the Bible. Okay? That was the problem we talked about last time. The Bible isn't the only authority. It's also everything the Church teaches. One of the things the Church taught was that Mary is a co-mediator, a mediatrix, mediating the grace of God to you along with Jesus. Now, we want to be fair, we want to be charitable and represent people we disagree with in the best possible light. So they do say, specifically, this should not be understood to compete with Jesus as the only ultimate mediator. I mean, they say that, like, Mary's the mediatrix, but this shouldn't be thought to compete with Jesus as the mediator. But saying it doesn't make it so. All right. And furthermore, we should ask each other for prayer, right? I mean, the Bible tells us to do that. James says, confess your sins to one another that you may pray for one another and be healed. So it's good to tell each other our struggles. It's good to pray for each other,